Welcome. I'm here with Paul Rablin from our corporate lending team. Paul, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Paul Rablin. I sit within the lending team within Investec. My particular focus is on lending to growth businesses using a mix of asset-based and cash flow lending.
Great. And today we're here to talk about consolidation in materials handling. Paul, for the uninitiated, could you just explain what the materials handling industry is?
Sure. So, I mean, materials handling is pretty broad subject, but I guess it encompasses anything that involves the movement of product or materials from A to B. That goes all the way from manufacturers that are producing all the way through the supply chain through to transport, logistics, fulfillment of moving those goods wherever they need to get to. So that's the broad kind of that encompasses manufacturing, distribution, supply chain.
Okay, and what's Investec's involvement with the sector?
Yeah, so in terms of my focus, we've lent to a number of different supply chain businesses involved in transport, logistics, warehousing, manufacturers, whether they manufacture in the UK or they manufacture abroad. We've got a range of different clients across those subsectors. So whilst we lend at the corporate level, we also have a team that focus on specifically forklift trucks and lending to businesses that have materials handling requirements specifically for forklift trucks. So actually, as a bank, we've got a great level of experience across materials handling in general, both at the corporate level and then the more asset-specific level.
Great. And how is the materials handling industry faring at the moment?
So materials handling is, I guess, again, being a pretty broad church, it's kind of largely correlated to economic output. So if you look at the UK economy or indeed the global economy, materials handling is a cyclical sector. It does follow the cycle. However, underpinning that are a number of different kind of drivers that are seeing volume certainly in materials handling grow, and we're seeing that kind of across our portfolio. So those types of trends are e-commerce, increase in people buying things online, just-in-time supply chains, so where you've got retailers or you've got wholesalers destocking, looking to generate more space within their warehouse for additional stock. And they do that by, making the supply chain more efficient, which means that actually that drives volume through transport, logistics and warehousing as well.
Great. And one thing that I think we're seeing in the industry is consolidation. What do you think is driving that?
Yeah, so consolidation is definitely a kind of a mega trend, if you like, within materials handling. And there's a number of different forces that drive that. I guess you've got on the supply side, you've got the increase in direct costs. So particularly for whether, materials handlers are manufacturers or distributors or wholesalers, you've got an increase in input costs, which include fuel, include labor, and particularly the skills shortage is one thing that is impacting the industry a lot at the minute. So you've got driver shortage, warehouse and kind of staff shortages. So actually you've got an increase in input costs for material handlers. But then at the same time, you've got the businesses that materials handlers move goods for are under pressure from an input cost point of view as well. So whether that's currency, or whether that's supply costs into their manufacturing processes. And then you overlay competition on top of that, and it means that not only have you got input cost inflation, but then you've also got, effectively, you've got margin compression because prices are coming down. Mm. And actually that's the issue is being pushed onto the supply chain, and someone has to wear the pain. Consolidation is definitely a factor that's affecting the market at the minute. There are a number of different platforms, both privately owned and publicly owned, which are acquiring and consolidating smaller players. What this means is this allows those businesses to compete more effectively with large 3PLs like DHL, TNT, XPO, whoever it might be. And the fact is that larger 3PLs do have a natural cutoff in terms of size of client that they're able to service. So they're less focused on the kind of small and middle-sized businesses. But what we're finding is that these consolidators are being able to compete with the larger businesses, but also being able to offer the flexibility, the high-touch service that the smaller and middle market are used to doing. So actually we think that, you know, that they win on those two counts, and someone like EV Cargo is doing that very effectively.
So if you're a small materials handling firm, is consolidation the only way out, or are there more efficiencies to be had?
There are definitely efficiencies and different, you're right, there's a big versus small argument here. So to get back to the point about consolidation, I'll come back to the efficiencies point, but to get back to the consolidation point, what you're finding is that smaller businesses, smaller materials handling businesses are, because of the squeezes we've just talked about, either seeking to acquire businesses with adjacent services or value add abilities, or, you know, it's the old big is beautiful, and actually larger businesses are able to withstand the pressure better than smaller businesses. So what you're seeing for those two reasons is this drive towards consolidation, drive towards taking cost out, drive towards adding adjacent services and becoming more embedded in the supply chain. So those are the kind of factors that are meaning that actually across the industry, whether it's manufacturing, but particularly in distribution and supply chain, you're getting this agglomeration effect.
And what does that mean for the client, for the end user?
What it should mean for the client is that they're able to get more for less, which is what they're asking for. You know, in many cases, the end client here ends up with the consumer, if that's food and drink or consumer goods. But effectively, because of the supply chain squeeze, hopefully the consolidation means that actually you do get more for less. You get a more efficient supply chain. But the impetus is obviously on keeping the flexibility and service of a small service provider that a small service provider can give whilst they increase in scale, which is always the challenge.
Mm. And so an example that we've seen in the press recently, which I know is one that Investec worked on, was EV Cargo. So could you talk us about how that worked, how it was structured, and how it came to be?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. We've funded five or six of the acquisitions that Emergevest, who are a Hong Kong-based fund focused on the supply chain specifically, have acquired a number of different businesses in the UK, all of a different nature to one another, but all within their specific niches. So whether that's NFT, which is chilled logistics, Pallet Force, which is a pallet network, or Downton, which is a large-scale warehousing distribution provider for a range of different sectors, which offers a lot of value add. So there's been a number of different acquisitions that we've funded, and the idea here is that these different businesses provide different services in their niches. But when brought together, along with businesses such as Allport, which do freight forwarding and bring a lot of cargo into the UK from particularly the Far East, bringing those together just makes sense in terms of joining up the various different functions, looking at synergies between them. So that's been the idea behind EV Cargo, as well as being able to provide, you know, the flexible service for mid-market businesses and allowing that business to compete effectively with the larger 3PLs, whether that's DHL, TNT, whoever it might be, but providing the same high touch mid-market service that their customers require.
Mm. And so from what you've told me, these aren't exactly the boom years for materials handling, especially with what we're hearing about, bad Christmas generally for retailers. And yet Investec seems to be backing quite a lot of these companies. Do you know something we don't?
We've never been frightened to back top management teams in challenging sectors. And materials handling, transport, logistics, manufacturing is a tough sector, and particularly in the UK at the minute, given the various headwinds that are going on, not least Brexit. Our mantra, and we are designed to back, firstly, good, compelling businesses with great management teams, and we've got the ability to structure debt packages that can outstructure the rest of the market, whether that's senior debt or more and more currently the competition that we're seeing from funds. But we are designed specifically to outstructure for particular markets, and materials handling, transport, logistics is one of those sectors. And the way that we do that is through multi-layered structures. So we take the best bits that we see of asset-based lending, which are the revolvers against debtors, against inventory, if that's applicable, and combine that with long-term term lending or cash flow lending, which allows for a number of different scenarios, and we can tailor that mix effectively for each individual situation. So every single one of our structures is bespoke, and that allows for investment in working capital, fixed assets over the long term, whether that's 5 or 7 years. It allows for change of ownership, MBO, MBI, or wealth realization for management teams.
And how's your appetite now? Has Investec had its fill, or are you still on the lookout for promising materials handling businesses?
No, we're absolutely on the lookout for more businesses like the ones that we backed, whether they're manufacturers, distributors, businesses that are involved in the supply chain. Our challenge is to find, good businesses to back. We're not kind of all things to all people, so we pick who we back with carefully. But yeah, we would love to grow our book, twice, three times the size that it is now.
Okay. So what for you is a sign of a good materials handling business?
One which probably speaks to some of the stuff I mentioned earlier, whether it's, the first question is, who are we backing, and what's the management story? Who's driving the business? Who's running the business? The second question, is it a compelling business? So is it a business that's relevant within its marketplace? For materials handling, the way that we think about that is, for example, if a materials handling business turns over £10 million and charges £10 million for moving goods from A to B, the actual fundamental value of the goods being moved could be 10 times or 20 times or 30 times that. So actually, what we're looking for here is the fundamental reason to be for that business. So is it mission critical within the supply chain? If it's moving stuff from A to B and the value of those goods are 20 times what that business charges, there's a reason for that business to exist. And actually, mission critical businesses with strong market share, that's what we love. And that's what we look for.
Okay. So looking back on 2018, it feels like there were a lot of losers and not many winners. Where do you think materials handling sits on that spectrum?
I think there's a mix. There are winners and losers always. I mean, I think there's the large versus small argument, whether smaller players are under more pressure and less able to compete. But I think it's more nuanced than that. So actually, you've got businesses that can deliver service, flexibility, innovation, value add to their businesses, to their clients. And we've seen them flourish. So actually, I think it's more about the agility of the business and the ability for that business to react to market conditions. Mm. And actually, the other point is businesses that have the right funding partner and that give them financial muscle to outmaneuver their competition. And there are always road bumps. There are always road bumps in every single business life. The point is, with the right funding partner, they can get over those road bumps.
Okay. And on 2019, what do you think the future holds?
It's a great question. I think, yeah, if only we knew. And I think, Brexit on the horizon, question mark, how that plays out. But certainly for materials handling, practically, I think what that means is that you've got potential holdups in the supply chain. You've got the requirement for more warehouse space than we actually have for this potential spike in demand. So in one sense that's a positive driver, in the other sense it could be a spike which then dissipates and kind of moves away. So whether or not you're going to be making a long-term decision to build more warehouse space when that could fall away if things become smoother over time is a challenge. I think the big thing for materials handlers is around skills shortages, and particularly staff shortages, around, you know, the fact that EU nationals make up, and these are CBI statistics, make up 14% of HGV drivers, make up 25% of warehouse drivers, and 22% of forklift truck drivers. So that's a decent chunk of the workforce that, that is tied up and provided by EU nationals. So the question is, you know, the supply is already running short. You know, how does that play out in the next year? And actually, you know, all that does is potentially push prices up further. And that ends up either in profits going down within the supply chain or ends up in the consumer's lap. Mm. So I think it'll be a challenging year, but I mean, the materials handling industry is pretty resilient as well. So actually, there's no reason to see why they wouldn't, you know, why they wouldn't pull through. And but there will be some pain. It just depends where that's worn exactly.
Yeah. And last one from me. If I'm a CEO or a CFO in materials handling and I've got something coming up on the horizon and I think I'm going to need some more funding, what should I be doing? Where should I be looking?
Yeah, so I think in terms of growth, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's about choosing the right funding partner and looking at the right structure to be able to allow you to get on with the growth that you want to drive. From our point of view, you know, we want to put in place facilities which allow materials handling businesses just to get on with what they're good at, which is moving stuff from A to B, efficient supply chains. However is most efficient to run that business. We want that business to be able to continue to do that without having to think about, you know, a debt structure or a banking finance structure that means that the wrong decisions are being made behaviorally. So we want to sit in the background and we want to allow the businesses that we back just to get on with what they're good at doing. So it means not coming up with arbitrary ratios. It means not imposing onerous aspects that other finance partners might impose. We were naturally curious about the businesses that we back, but that's just because we love stories and we love understanding and getting under the skin of the businesses that we back, to understand actually what makes the business tick. Whether it's a clothing manufacturer and importer that we find out later is actually world class at supply chain. That is just what they're good at. It's those kinds of light switch moments where, you know, we actually understand what makes a business tick. So actually, from our point of view, we put in place a tailored structure and we allow the business just to get on with growing.
Paul, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Cheers.